Nisoy. And this pasuk really it says it by a ger. I don't remember the exact pasuk. Rashi says what it means. Do not loisoynu means do not cause a ger. Do not give him oinoas divarim. Do not say to a ger to a ger words that are painful. I have here a new sefer. It's called Ayin Ba'ayin. I can't figure out who wrote the sefer. There are two people who wrote it. It says here, Rav Yitzchak Zalman Gibbs. Okay, I don't know which Gibbs that is. It's not the other Gibbs that we use. And then it says over here, someone else, Gerish and Yitzchak Bechiner. 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 I can't figure out if one person wrote it, one person gave the shiur, one compiled it. I got to figure this out. But in the meantime, it's a very interesting sefer. It's a hard sefer. It's written. It's not so easy, at least not for me. And he has a very fascinating chapter where he has collected all over Shas all of the nasty statements in Shas. All of the statements in Shas where one Talmud Chacham says to another Talmud Chacham. Maybe. I don't know if it's not so easy because you have to know all the statements. However he did it. I don't know how he did it, but it's interesting. It's a whole thick sefer. And let me tell you some of the nasty comments. And then he shows that they're not really nasty statements. It's because of our lack of understanding of the context of these stories, these statements were said. And of course, al derech pshat, it's a nasty statement. But how could it be? These are the greatest of the great. Tanoim amarayim, they would talk to each other in such a disparaging way. Can it possibly be? And it's very interesting how he tries to be miyashev that no, they were really speaking to each other with a lot of respect. And you just have to understand the context. So not all of the ways things that he explains are very satisfying, but at least let's get a little bit of a primer on this topic. Let me give you some of the examples, then we'll discuss some of them. I'll give you some of the harsh words in Shas. Okay, here we go. The first expression is Rav. Many times you have to remember where there's a machlekes, I'm a roim, there's a discussion, then the Gemara is, Kinoyim v'shochiv Rav Omar Lahai Shmaitza. When Rav was dozing off, he said this idea. Can you imagine? You come home from shul and you say, what did the rabbi say today? What was the drasha? And you say over the drasha to someone in your family, and they say, really? That's what the rabbi said? The rabbi must have been sleeping when he was saying the drasha. He was sleeping. If that's what the kinoyim v'shochiv Rav Amar l'hai shmaitz. Really, that's what the rabbi said in his drasha. This is utter nonsense. The rabbi must have been dozing off as he was saying the drasha. He was dozing off, and just nonsense came out of his mouth because he wasn't concentrating on what he was saying. That's in essence what these words mean. Are you talking? You have here amoroyim who say about the holy Rav, the Halakha Rav, that Rav doesn't know what he's talking about, and the way you disparage him is by saying, Kinoyim v'shochiv, Noyim means he was dozing off, Omar l'hai shmaitza. Okay, how about Rabbi Yirmiyahu and Rabbi Zeira? When they would comment about the Babylonians, they would say, the Babloi tipshoy, they're a bunch of idiots. The Babylonian foolish people. Okay, they live in a dark land and they say dark words. That's how Rabbi Yirmiyahu and Rabbi Zeira would talk about the Amoroyim, the Halakha Amoroyim of Bavel. Okay, Bidusihi. Now, this is said about Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi, he wrote the Talmud. He wrote it. The whole Gemara over here, the whole wall, he wrote the book. And his contemporaries or his Talmudim, they say, Hod Rav Ashi, Bidusihi. Take it out of the Beis Medrash. It's bedus is a negative term. It's like it really means it's a lie, fake news. It's what it's.
That means that somebody whoever quotes him is a bedusa.
Not necessarily. Hode Rav Ashi, bedusahi. It's like you would say about Biden. It's a lie. It's a lie. It's sheker. Woo! That's not how you talk about Rav Ashi, the Halakha Rav Ashi. What's going on over here? Okay, I'll give you another. Okay. Then the Gemara, many times the Gemara makes a statement, and the Gemara says, the Gemara, they comment in the Beis Yesh what he said, and they said, eh, v'loyi, l'ishtamutei nafshehu da'ovat. He was caught in a corner. The guy, they had him down. So in order to escape the attack, the verbal attack, and the rabbinic debate, so he says something that was not true in order to escape, in order he didn't want to be held accountable. He didn't want to be held accountable for his chidushim, because he was under a straw, so he gave it an answer, and the answer he gave is not really, come on, that's not a good answer. Ha, v'loihi, what he said is a lie. L'ishtamute nav shehu da'ovat. He just said this in order to slip out, in order to escape the attack. That's not a nice thing to say about holy. See, we're so used to this. You learn Gemara or Mordechai, you know the whole Shas. So, but you're so used to this. Like, we don't take it even seriously. But when you break out of the mold of, you know, we've all been brainwashed, and you think, really? If we would say such a thing like that today about someone else in this room or about a Rav, they would kill us. That's not Derech Eretz. Just because we're so brainwashed with these expressions, these are very harsh expressions. Okay? Now what about this expression? The whole Gemara was talking about a sugya in Mesechta Yevamos, and one of the Amoraim said a chidush. And the other Amora said, well, you know, it's even Tanoim. These are Tanoim. Yehei Rava de Tishrei Tarba. When you talk like that, you know what's going to happen? May it be Hashem's will, you will come one day to permit a person to eat Chelev. Chelev is Karas. Yehei Rava, you'll permit, is like it's first saying, with this line of reasoning, the day is going to come, you're going to be matir, the worst averois possible. You can't eat in your house. It's like, if you say a swara like this in the Beis Medrash, I'm not eating lunch in your house anymore. Because you have such a corrupt approach to the halacha, probably in your home, you eat chelev. That's a pretty nasty thing to say about someone. I don't trust them. The thing like today, you give a shir like this, I don't trust your kashrus. I went to your shir, your daf yomi shir. I heard you say crazy, crazy nonsense. You know what? I'm already choyshe that you're not bikoyres. I'm not coming to your house to eat, because in your house you probably serve treif. That's how bad the shir was. Did you ever go to a shir and come back? The shir was so bad, I'm not eating in this guy's house because he's must serve chazer. One of the best lines is, Tanim were arguing, and in the end of the argument, one says to the other, Rachmana litzlan, mehai daita. May Hashem save us from such a thought. And the guy says back, Adraba, Rachmana litzlan, mi daita didoch. May Hashem save us from your mach, from your thinking. Okay, that's pretty stuff. Pretty heavy stuff. What? He justifies every one of these things. Yes. Another time, and this oh, that's what I'm about to say right now. So I thought only the Ravid said this. No, it's a Gemara. The Gemara says it. The Gemara is a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah. Ein loy moyach bekod kodoy. Ein loy moyach. In ein loy moyach, he said back to him, yes, no, kimidumali. Kimidumali she'ein loy moyach bekod kodoy. That's what kind of thing you say. It appears you don't have a brain in your head. That's how you talk about a Tana? A Tana? You know what a Tana? A Tana is like a Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, there definitely are more. Okay, so all of these statements, we can't do now, but all these statements are absolutely shocking. There are stories also, all these interesting stories where Tanoim seem to have been doing terrible things. The question is, this week's parasha, forget about being nice. It's an iser deraisa. It's an iser deraisa. How would you like to come back from Beis Medrash? Your wife says, "How to go today in yeshiva?" Oh, not so great. The Rosh Shiva said in front of the whole Beis Medrash about me, I don't have a brain in my head. Come back the next day. Yeah, the Rashiva said that no one should eat in our house, because if I could say such a svara, it must be that in my home we serve chalef. I mean, this is terrible. I mean, they were very dignified people. The people they were very passionate about life. And when you say things like this, what's going on? It's not just stam. Oh, you know, you're not so nice. It's an isur de oiraisa to say something to another person that causes them tsar. It doesn't say anywhere that when you learn a daf gemara and you argue in learning, there's an exception to the rule.
Yeah, when you on their level amongst themselves.
So even amongst themselves, it doesn't say, you know, we know that there's a difference between the Talmidei Chacham and Eretz Yisrael.
Like my father said to me once, we were a bunch at the table and I had some friends over, he started rebuking one of them. I said, what are you doing? This is my friend.
Okay, so maybe so you're saying good. It's very. But yet, when the Gemara recorded, not everything that happened has to be recorded. The fact that these statements were recorded for posterity, when they wrote the Talmud Bavli, they knew exactly that the Talmud Bavli is going to carry us to the Melech HaMashiach. Talmud Bavli has been around for 1,500 years, if not more. When they wrote the Talmud Bavli, they didn't have to write. They didn't write. The price of tea in China when they wrote the Talmud Bavli. Every word of the Talmud Bavli, the only 2,711 pages, every word of the Talmud Bavli is extremely precise and carries a timely message. If they went through the effort of recording these statements, these are serious statements. They didn't record what color was their hat, what kind of suit they wore. They don't record all the nonsense. They record. And he has a collection of about 15, 20 statements that are throughout Shas, at face value, are very nasty. There's no way other way to, they're nasty statements. And it's usur to do this. It's an isur d'oraisa. We're dealing with isur d'oraisa, le'soinu ish esamis. Everyone knows the difference between the Talmidei Chachamim and Eretz Yisrael, the Talmidei Chachamim and Bavel. In Eretz Yisrael, they were noichim ze lazeh. They were very polite. What do you say? Okay, you know what I say? And let's all be friends. In Bavel, they punched each other. Bang, 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 bang. But just because you have a passionate debate doesn't mean you have insults. Doesn't mean there's also rules and regulations to how far you go. You've all seen political debates years ago. Okay, years ago. Okay, the biblical debates lately in the last more it's a very interesting study. If you were to go take since the time of television, and they've had political debates between presidential candidates, and analyze the debates. You know, this you can make a whole documentary, you can make a whole PhD thesis, a whole analysis of the nature. What they were just as passionate 50 years ago in the political debates as they were today. Yet there was a certain derech eretz that they had then, they don't have now. It's a different world today. My father always used to say he loved what happened when I don't know who was running against Reagan. Who ran against Reagan? I don't remember. What?
Mondale and Carter.
Mondale and Carter. I mean, there was one debate where one of those two was lashing into Reagan by saying, you're too old. You're just too old to be president. You're past your age. And it was going on, and Reagan went, and he turned around, and he said, he gave a clap on the bima, and he said, I will not, wait, what did he say? I can't remember, the way he said it was genius, you have to look at him on YouTube. I will not take advantage of your youth and inexperience. Yeah. He turned the tables around with a sharp line, and everyone couldn't stop laughing. And he won the whole debate. He thought the corner, like, you're too old. And he says, I'm not going to take advantage that you're just a yingler. you're a child, and you're young, inexperienced, naive. You don't have my experience. I'm not going to go and take advantage of you. And even, I think Mandel, even he cracked up. He couldn't control himself how sharp and witty and passionate he was. Okay, he insulted him. But was it an insult? Okay, so and it was probably one of the most brilliant moments in American debates. are presidential candidates. You have to find the, I'm sure it's available online somewhere, and Google Mayor is going to find it for us and send it out, of that response of how, wow, you turn mamish, turn the tables 180 degrees with a sharp word. Was Mandel insulted? He wasn't insulted. He lost the debate, but today when they insult you, when Trump opens his mouth, give out when he opens up his mouth. All right, so this.
Remember the line, you're no Jack Kennedy.
So in this Sefer, this one little chapter, this book is packed, but this is like one, these, I don't tell you, like 10, 20 pages. He goes through every single one of these lines.
You want to hear the answers.
Now the problem, here's the problem giving you the answers. The problem is, in every single one of these lines, he's an incredible Talmud Chacham, he goes through the sugya they were talking about, and he gives you an enormous amount of context. He's really makatzer, and he shows like these incredibly brilliant insights into what was really going on. And when you fully understand what's going on, it wasn't an insult. It was a compliment. Or there's an entirely different issue. Now, the Gemara was purposely written like this, obviously, is because, you know, everyone on their level sees things differently. A Talmud in Yeshiva Ketana, when he hears these sharp, nasty comments, it gives him a little chiyus, you know, it gets a little excited. When you get a little bit older, and you realize that's not the way you do things in this world, you don't just go insult people, you learn the sugya of where it's coming from on a much, much deeper level, you're blown away by, wow, this was a brilliant statement that he made. It wasn't an insult, but you need the background. Now, unfortunately, most of the cases, either I don't have the background to understand the answer, what he's trying to explain, or the answer that he gives doesn't really satisfy me on my low level. But some of them I get, and some of them are very beautiful. So the ones that I could relate to and comprehend and give over, I will try, Mir Tashem, to continue this sometime to explain to you what some of these statements really mean on a deeper level, and it totally changes the picture of what is going on. Also, very interesting, one thing is, these statements, they're not thrown around all over Shas. There's a consistency. Only certain people say these things to other people. It's not like every Tanna Amora just says it. No. Who said me, Omar El Me? Oh, it says it 3 times in Shas. Yeah, notice the 3 times it says it in Shas, it was all the same person. Said it to the same person. When you know the background and the background to the story, then there's a lot of flavor that's missing to understand each story. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll continue this with Hashem another time.